We need to fear God. But at the same time, we also never need to fear men and the circumstances in our lives. Why? Because God is for me. I don't have to fear. Our enemies might hurt us, but they cannot really harm us. Why? Because we are spiritual people. We are spiritual people. We are Christians.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today, we're going to get a challenge from 1 Peter to stand resolute in our faith, even when we encounter hostility toward the name of Jesus. Roel will assure us that no tribulation can separate us from God's love, and nothing can take away our hope of heaven. Stay with us for encouragement to keep your eyes fixed on eternity, choosing the blessings of God over the approval of men. Now with today's lesson, here's Roel Reese.
Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 4:12. Paul says, "And we labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, and being persecuted, we endure." Man, Paul knew about beatings, shipwrecks. Paul the apostle had more happen to him in his life than any other disciple. And he writes and he says, being persecuted, we endure. Being reviled, we bless. We don't curse. We bless. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which are trying you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't think you're weird because you're going through a lot of weird things in your life. It's the Lord. The Lord is trying you, molding you, shaping you. And if you go into the fire, He will be with you in the fire and through the fire. That's what the Bible says. And what do? We glorify God. And then what do? We need to pray. We need to be prayed up. In Matthew 5:44, he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those that hate you and pray for those who despisefully use you and persecute you." Think about that. This is Jesus speaking. Pray for those that are calling you names, pushing you around, saying all kinds of weird things to you. Who's the example? Jesus. He suffered for the good deeds that he did. And ultimately what happened to him? They put him on a cross. They crucified him as a criminal. And he was no criminal. The other two, they were criminals, but not Jesus. And what happened? The one cursed him and the one repented when they saw the power of God in their lives. And yet we too sometime are going to suffer for doing good, not for doing evil. Just like the Lord, He's our example. We are His children, and one day we will have to go into the fire and through the fire and be tested. And what I love about the book of Daniel, when the three Hebrews were thrown into the fire, remember, there were four. The Son of God was in there with them. And when the king saw that, he called them out. And when they came out, it says they didn't even smell like the smoke. They had nothing in the fire. And God protected it and watched over them. And the king was so blown away that he gave his life to God. That's the kind of strength that we're going to have in these last days. Because things will get tough. But the Lord is always there. If God is for me, then who can be against me? Seriously. Nobody. If God is for me, nothing can move my life. You know what Jesus said in John 15:20? "Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, Jesus, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, then they will keep yours also." So he's warning us. He's warning the disciples. If they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. Why? Because we're not greater than Jesus. You see, if they did it to our master, our king of kings, and they spit on his face. And then they put nails through his hands and his feet. And then they took a spear and pierced his side where the water and the blood came forth, and he died of a broken heart. What makes you or me better than him? Nothing. That is a really challenging thing in our lives tonight, to know what Peter is writing to us about. This is the good news. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Now watch this. In verse 14, Peter shares now the suffering of the church with all of us now, and not only experiencing suffering, but at the same time, look what he says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, notice, not for being weird, okay? For righteousness' sake, for doing what? For what? Doing what's right, for being a holy people. You are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Underline that. We don't have to be afraid of people threatening us or troubling us. Especially if they're persecuting and prosecuting you and they're saying things to you because, you know what? You're living a righteous life in your neighborhood. And they see what you're doing and they say, oh yeah, those are the holy people over there. Or whatever they say to you. You know what? You don't have to worry about it. You continue to love them. You continue to do what's right. And you stand by the word of God. And think about this. What a blessing and a great assurance God is giving to each one of us individually, not only in suffering, but being righteous. Not my righteousness, because that's like filthy rags, but his righteousness in my life that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the key is. We are what? We are blessed. Blessed to the ultimate here. The Holy Spirit, by Peter carefully here, is selecting this little mood here to indicate that suffering may come later, and if not now, even in the future when it comes, happy are you. Happy am I going to be. Because if God is for us, then who can be against me? Check this out, Romans again, Romans 8, 35, 36, 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through who? Through Jesus Christ who loved us. And then he goes on, verse 38. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Imagine what he wrote in Romans. Not even recognizing that one day he himself would be beheaded by Caesar Nero, when he would be actually spending 2 years in a jail in Rome. And then his persecution would come in prosecution, and then he would be killed. Paul the Apostle, man, one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. And it's really important because even Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament, in chapter 8, 12, 13, he said, do not say a conspiracy concerning all this people called conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, notice the Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, let him be your fear and let him be your dread. If you keep your eyes on the Lord and you put your trust in him, then what can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Fear breeds unrest and agitation. The believer is to rest with quiet confidence in the Lord and let the Lord work his purposes were in my life and in your life. That's what God desires. As believers, we will suffer for Christ. Number one, it is necessary for Christian living as we come to Jesus Christ. If you're going to live godly lives and you're going to fear God, you are going to suffer. Philippians 1:29, Paul says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him," check this out, "but also to suffer for his sake." Wow. Also to suffer for his sake. Paul the Apostle. Secondly, it is necessary and it is a blessed privilege to suffer for Christ. Acts 5:41. "And so they departed," Peter and all those guys, "they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." What do? They beat them. And they said, "Praise the Lord." Awesome. Give him more power to stand for the Lord. Thirdly, it is necessary because it never, never is in vain. I love that. Never in vain. Galatians 3:4, Paul says, "Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, then what's the purpose?" They're never in vain. Everything, God keeps a record. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. And fourthly, it is necessary because it is after who? Christ's example. He's my example. Nobody else. He is my example. Philippians 3:20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And then 1 Peter 2:20 again, he says, "For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." Who honors you? The Lord honors you when you do it for the Lord in the right attitude, with the right heart. Verse 21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps." Wow. To follow in his footsteps.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Well, Raul is here with me in the studio, and we're talking about the upcoming tour to Israel in April of 2026.
Yeah, it's going to be really neat. We're going to have, you know, a time of fellowship. Then we're going to be in the different sites together. And so that's what we want to take you. You don't have to belong to this church. You can belong to another church, no problem. We're not trying to steal you from the church. We're trying to educate you so when you go back to your church, you can educate them. So you need to go.
Well, you can get all of that information and join Pastor Raul and his son Ryan on our website, somebodylovesyou.com. Well, let's continue now with more of our study of 1 Peter.
Fifthly, it is necessary because it is a short duration. It's not forever. It's a short time. It's a season. 1 Peter 5:10, he says, "May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a little while, perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you." We're going to get to that later on. Imagine what Peter, all the way through his epistle, is talking about what? Suffering and comforting us. The Lord. He's there for each one of us individually. And then six, it is necessary because it is not comparable to heaven's glory. I like that. Romans 8:18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Notice that. You can't compare to eternity what's going on right now. So now Peter says in verse 15, check this out. Here is his counsel to you and me. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Wow. Sanctify. Set him apart. "And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who's asking you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You know what he's saying? He says when you get arrested, when you get prosecuted, you get persecuted, or they back you against a corner, there's always the opportunity to share the gospel. And how do you do that if you don't study and if you don't know the Bible? He says you need to be ready to give an answer for anyone that asks you about Jesus Christ. Wow. That's a heavy scripture. That's why we come to Bible studies. That's why when we go home, we read our Bibles. And we study personally. But the first thing we need to do is we need to sanctify the Lord in our hearts. What does that mean? It means that we need to separate or be set apart the Lord in our hearts so that we can be used for His glory. That's what it means, to be set apart, so that God can use my life. And we need to be ready to give an answer to people who are looking, notice, who are looking for Christ in their lives. How can I have what you have? This is the way you do it. You share the gospel with them. And you do it in an orderly manner. Did you know that Paul, talking to young Timothy when he was struggling, in a second letter in chapter 2, verse 15, 2 Timothy, this is what Paul said. Study to show thyself approved, a man of God, a worker that doesn't need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. The New King James says this: be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. When do you become ashamed? When you don't have an answer to give someone because they know you haven't studied. Then you're ashamed. You call yourself a Christian. Have you ever noticed that Jehovah's Witness Mormons, they can give you answers to what they believe? How about you? How about me? You don't want to be shamed. You don't want to be ashamed of yourself. But what does he say? Rightly dividing the word of truth, which means what? You study the Bible. You study God's word. Then he goes on, verse 16. But it says, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase for more ungodliness. And their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are such people who have strayed concerning the truth of God, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrew the faith of some. There were these two guys in the early church that had become Christians, and they got into false doctrines. And they said that the resurrection of Christ already had passed. Think about that. And they became heretics. And Paul exposes them by name here. We also need to fear what? We need to fear God. But at the same time, we also never need to fear men and the circumstances in our lives. Why? Because God is for me. I don't have to fear. Our enemies might hurt us, but they cannot really harm us. Why? Because we are spiritual people. We are spiritual people. We are Christians. We can only harm ourselves if we fail to put our trust in God. And that's really important, because when Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life and the Lord of your life, then in every crisis that I have in my life, it becomes an opportunity to share Christ with others and to learn myself. Remember what Peter said? Chapter 4, 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which are trying you now, as though some strange thing happened to you. Is this normal or abnormal? No, it's normal. Verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit's glory and of God rest upon you, and on their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is being glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or evildoer or as a busybody as other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Wow. Think about that, what he's saying. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Jesus Christ in doing what's good as to a faithful creator. Oh man, I love those scriptures. It gives me assurance that I'm not on the wrong road. I'm on the right road. That God is for me, then who can be against me? Paul is declaring like an apologist. He says, if you don't study, then you can't really do what? You can't give an answer to people. You got to study to know God. You got to have answers. Our English word apology comes from the Greek word translated answer. But it doesn't mean to say I'm sorry. Rather, it means a defense presented in a place of court or in a court setting. Like a lawyer presenting his case before the judge. That's where we get our word apologetics. You see, it's real important to know doctrine and to know the Word of God. Every Christian should be able to give a reason and defense of what? Of your hope in Jesus Christ. Who do you believe in? If you want to know Christ and you want to know Him intimately and you want to know everything about Him, what are you going to do? You're going to study about that person. And if we can become fanatics in other areas, why not become a fanatic for Jesus Christ? And know Him personally in such a way that when people not only ask us and they listen, they're going to be walking away with the truth, not something phony. They're going to be walking away with the truth of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus, in the book of Matthew, talking to His own disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6:33, what did He say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. In Romans 12:1, what did He say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Notice that. Your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. And check this out. Perfect will of God, not your will, His will, when we come into the presence of God. We need a daily attitude of faith and obedience to the Word of God every single day, in spite of the consequences that we have. It means what? It means being satisfied with nothing less than the will of God in my life. I want God's perfect will in my life.
Whether you're facing minor antagonism or significant persecution for your relationship with Jesus, we hope today's message has been a bolstering to your faith to keep sight of your heavenly home. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ruiz. If you'd like to get a copy of today's lesson that includes much more teaching, we'll be happy to send a copy to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and ask for the lesson from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. We'd also like to tell you about this entire in-depth study of 1 Peter. Available on both CD and flash drive, this 42-part series will help you walk more fearlessly in step with God. You'll see that you can experience victory in affliction with the Lord's unfailing presence and matchless power in your life. To order Raul's 42-message 1 Peter series, visit us at somebodylovesyou.com or call us at 800-634-9165. We'll send you the CD collection for $63 or the thumb drive for just $42. The number again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We appreciate your partnership in this ministry. Your tax-deductible gifts help us keep sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tune in again next time for more faith-strengthening insights from 1 Peter. As you think about Jesus' humble surrender in the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll be inspired to entrust your future to the Lord and commit to obedience at any cost. Now, with the final word from today's teaching, here's Raul once again.
Remember what He said in John chapter 4, speaking to that woman that came to Jesus at that well? Jesus says, give me a drink of water. She says, oh, that well's 100 feet deep. It's too deep. We have nothing to draw with. And then He says, no, what I'm talking about is, He says, do you want me to give you water, but it's eternal water that you'll never have to come again here to this well? She went to the city and evangelized the whole city, and the city came out to see Jesus. Why? Because Jesus gave her the truth. And when you give people the truth, guess what they're going to do? They're going to accept the Lord, and they're going to go out, and they're going to tell others about the truth of Jesus Christ. That's how disciples beget disciples. The evidence that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives is not only to be ready, but it's to be a witness to others so that they may see Christ themselves personally as Lord and Savior. He said what? One day, thou good and faithful servant, come in. Look what I prepare for you. One day, we're going to hear those words because we are totally, fully committed to Jesus Christ to do His will, no matter what anybody else says. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. No matter what happens to this earth, in time to come, we need to stick together in the presence of God and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.